The following is a special presentation of WCBC Sports. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC, and brought to you by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback hosts are Roxy Oney and Dr. Jim Zamias, and the WCBC Sports team with lots of information about the week in sports.
Good morning, Saturday Morning Quarterback, playoff time, 5 days till Thanksgiving. Gotta love football in the month of November. This is Jim Zamias with Roxy Oney, Brad Reed, Tony Orndorff, Mike Connolly, and Garrett Egan. Full crew is here to entertain you, inform you, and take your questions at 301-722-8255. Right now, let's go to Mike Connolly for last night's scores.
Thanks very much, Jim. On WCBC last night, Fort Hill 30, Cambridge South Dorchester 12, Northern 49, Boonesboro nothing, Perryville 27, Patterson Mill 2, and Seed School 13, Green Street Academy 12. In college basketball, Allegheny College of Maryland 86, Chesapeake 79. Today, on Classic Hits 107, West Side at Frankfort, airtime 12:30. Kickoff is at 1:30. And today in college football, at noon, Iowa is at Maryland, 3:30, Penn State at Minnesota, and UCF at WVU. At 4 o'clock, Pitt is at Louisville. And tonight at 7 o'clock, Army plays Navy at Yankee Stadium.
Army plays
Notre Dame. I'm sorry. Jeez. Yes.
Or Navy.
Yeah. Army Navy. You did it. Army
said Notre our Dame. Biggest Yankee Notre Stadium. Dame fan. Yeah. Subscriber to Blue and Gold, and he's wearing his Notre Dame shirt.
He was out late last night.
Yeah.
It was just him, right? He was the only one out late.
Yeah.
He's just out catting around.
At Yankee Stadium.
Thank you, Michael. And just to add, other West Virginia playoff games today due to all the snowfall. We have Princeton and Hampshire, Williamstown and Moorfield, Riverview and Petersburg, and Sunday at 2 p.m., Tucker County at East Hardy. Well, as far as scores go, let's just talk about Northern. I really don't need six of us to, let's pick a score out of four here. It's Northern. Northern 49, Boonesboro nothing. I will admit I had it dead wrong, and several of you said Northern would win by 7 touchdowns, so I want to congratulate you. On that pick.
So. I think, see, the sarcasm, you don't wear that well. Brad and I insisted that they were going to win.
I think you insisted it would be a game. I don't know that you insisted they'd win.
I believe what I remember is Brad saying he would not discount Northern. I think he left it at that.
I'm taking Northern.
I don't remember that. Do we have the logger?
No, we don't remember that. We do have the logger.
Can we get into that?
Oh, wait, we don't have last Saturday's logger.
That's my booth review. I want to review that tape.
All right. Good luck, because there is no tape. We have 45 seconds of last Saturday's show.
But one of the themes, I think, on this show all the time is that Allegheny County football is better than Washington County football. Western Maryland football is better than Washington County football. And absolutely.
I mean, when you first texted me 14-0, like, oh my. And then it was 28-0. And Garrett, you were somewhere on Route 50 hanging off the Bay Bridge for an inordinate amount of time. I mean, that score is something. 49-0 Northern over Boonesboro.
I will say that I can pull the logger, and Dave put me on the dime and said and asked about the football games, and I said definitively I think Northern will beat Boonesboro. I think we all, like Tony said, agree that Washington County football probably isn't – they shouldn't have been a two seed, of course, with the vacated wins and everything like that. But, checking the scores, I was thinking, oh, it'll be a close game. Northern will probably pull it out at the end. But when you look down at your phone and you see 35-0, it's pretty incredible. We've known that Luke Ross has been kind of their core, but he was so impressive in that game, in the mud, and –
Boonesboro had, one loss, only to Middletown, right?
36-0.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
They beat Brunswick a couple times. Speaking of Brunswick real quick, Garrett, can you give us a short summary of that Brunswick text you sent me about their coach? Like, there was this long resignation letter?
The Brunswick's head coach put out a press release yesterday. Jerry Smith, and after 8 years, he has resigned as the head football coach at Brunswick. They've had a pretty good run, the Railroaders, And I guess he just kind of ran out of track and decided to park it at the depot and shut her down.
Oh, my goodness.
He didn't get into anything controversial.
No, it was kind of the usual resignation coach speak after talking over with his family and friends. And it was a pleasure to be there.
Am I right? He resigned before the end of the season? I thought I read that.
There was something with the coach before the end of the season down there. So, at any rate, Boonesboro is out. And, you know, when you play these scores through, Mike Connolly, you're thinking, boy, if Allegheny did not have to deal with Fort Hill, if you had, like, a normal setup, Allegheny maybe could have gone down there and beaten Boonesboro. Well, we don't know. I mean, it's all conjecture. But.
Well, Jim, getting back to that Northern game, when you said 35-0, I thought that was the final. And then when we heard it was 49, I thought, my God, they're going to get to 50 real quick. And I thought Northern would have a difficult time down there because Boonesboro only having one loss. But like you said, the teams from Washington County, they're just, well.
Well, now Phil Carr may never get to hunt. He's going to have to hunt local.
Yes. Yeah. He had a quote in the paper that that's the way football ought to be played, in the rain and the muck and the mud. And that was really northern conditions, and no doubt about that.
All right. Well, what we're going to do now is take our first break. Congratulations to Northern. When we come back, we'll talk about Fort Hill. So four of us did the Fort Hill game on the Eastern Shore. One of us did a basketball game on the Eastern Shore. And then somebody's watching a play in an auditorium. What?
You fans decide. Sort that out yourselves.
And your calls are welcome. Please give us a buzz. We'd love to talk about last night and a preview of Frankfort today. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole. And it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Hi, I'm DJ Ritchie, lead pastor at Memorial Heights Baptist Church at 1419 East Old Town Road in Cumberland. Join us every Sunday here on WCBC at 9 a.m., then join us in person at 10:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. For information about our church, find us on Facebook.
Castle looks it over on second down, then turns off the left side. Daniels down inside the 10, still on his feet.
He's in, Rock.
Touchdown, Jabril Daniels. Touchdown, Fort Hill, with 9:24 remaining in the third quarter, and the Sentinels tied at the 12 here in Cambridge.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
And welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback. That was Rock Cioni with the touchdown call. Fort Hill 30, Cambridge South Dorchester 12. And Rock, you got to call the game. We were under a canopy on an elementary playground behind the Fort Hill bleachers. And even with that, I had a legal pad that was face down. Well, the whole thing was soaked and bent in half today. It's hard to describe how wet it was, but for 15 hours we were together, we had the same weather the entire range of the state, unless you're in Garrett County where they got snow. It was raining, windy, and the temp between 36 and 43 the whole day.
The wind chill may have gotten as low as 25.
I saw Alex Rachwalski. Yeah, these newspaper guys, they're always doing research.
Yeah, they do.
And Alex and Jordan did a great job covering those games last night. Brad, you talked to Zach Alkire pregame, and you thought he seemed pretty relaxed. And then at halftime, I think he did what head coaches do. It's time to motivate.
Exactly. I thought his changes or the halftime alterations, whatever you want to call them, and then how he came out so fired up himself in that third quarter changed that whole game. I had not seen him be that emotional on the sidelines, good and bad. When they scored a touchdown one time, he ran out onto the field and gave all the kids a high five. I had not seen him do that before. So that third quarter was a masterpiece of coaching.
It really was something. And Mike, as far as stats go, in the second half, Cambridge could muster nothing.
And they, I don't think they passed what went by their 30 or 35 yard line. No first downs, and it was just a total domination. Like Brad was saying, I made a note here. I said, "What a halftime speech! Whatever it was, it worked."
Yeah.
And I mean, because you know, you said you were in there, you heard some talking, but whatever Coach Alkire and his staff said got across to the kids, and it was, you know, evident.
Tony, when you see a halftime score that Fort Hill was trailing 12-6, it's, you know, it's jarring, especially in these last few years. But then 24-0 in the second half.
No, it was that first half was shades of Catoctin. That's what it looked like it was going to go that in that route when they went down to Catoctin and got behind a little bit and then kind of packed it in is what I remember. But it didn't happen, you know. And I got a text from my brother, thought that the rain in the grass was going to give Fort Hill trouble. And as soon as I checked in on the game at that point, and Daniels went for a touchdown like right at that point, I thought, well, I guess they found the longer cleats. But yeah, first half was, I think, you know, it was 4 hours of travel and all of that and the weather and the conditions. And then you get into it and you get a halftime adjustment, and then they came out and were Fort Hill in the second half.
Now, Garrett, you were able to listen to some of the game coming down. Any impressions that you had listening to the first half?
I think it's kind of one of those things where when you're Fort Hill, you're very confident in yourself. You know that it doesn't matter what the record says, vacated wins, what have you. You know you're confident that you are still heavily favored. You're confident in what you can do. And then that first half, it's kind of like when you're playing with your food. and as a head coach and as a coaching staff, when you go into the locker room, you know that you have the capabilities to beat this team. You're expecting to beat this team. You have all the motivation to beat this team. But at halftime, you have to give a lot of credit to Coach Alkire and his staff for kind of snapping them out of it and saying, you know, you keep playing around and you're going to be end up being down by two touchdowns. So they snapped out of it. It was time for them to, you know, take care of business. And that's exactly what they did. Jabril, another three touchdowns. Incredible job.
Rock, during our 15 hours together yesterday, we covered some topics. One of them was movies. And when Garrett said just now, snapping out of it, remember in Moonstruck when Cher slapped?
Oh, yeah.
Snap out of it.
Yes. Well, they snapped out of it.
Did they ever? And Rock, the first play of the second half was Bobby Brower's kickoff that scooted inside the five, and then Cambridge started, I guess, at their 10. But really, Bobby Brower is one of the heroes of that game because field position dictated that second half.
Well, as you got described, we don't believe they got they, being Cambridge South Dorchester, didn't get beyond their 30-yard line, didn't get any first downs. They had the quarterback. I mean, he was their threat. The running back that we had heard so much about, Perkins, really wasn't much of a factor in the game at all. And I don't want to sound redundant, but we tend to agree that Fort Hill has a plan A, a plan B. Plan C was pretty clear, just up the intensity that Brad says that he always gets from Zach Alkire. That's what they did. It was two different teams, especially defensively. And, you know, what a victory. And I mean, it's just startling. You said jarring. It's startling when they go into halftime down by anything, let alone, you know. But however, they did lose three fumbles in the first half.
Well, yeah, and the short field, we didn't know how much the short field fueled what Cambridge was able to do. One of the drives was just, I think, 15 or 16 yards, and the other was maybe half field. Rock, the other thing that really helped us and you as a play-by-play man is Fort Hill gave the ball to Jabril Daniels 30 times. So,
talking about our broadcast position.
Our best guess turned out to be pretty accurate with Jabril.
Well, that's a pretty good guess to say it was Jabril off the right side or off the left side. Yeah, I thought Cambridge South Dorchester, Brad, you were down there far closer than we were. They played pretty staunch defense. For all intents and purposes,
it was a game of two halves. So yeah. I think that in that third quarter again, you could see the life just go out of a team. I had never seen that before, where you can see one team just kind of building and the other team going down, and it was a direct relationship between the two. They had nothing in that third quarter. They could feel the game slipping away.
Yeah, it's like they were as high as they probably ever were, and then slipping away. And that's, yeah, I started noticing their body language too, and you confirmed what I was seeing.
It was very evident, and I kind of got the feeling that they were happy to be leading at halftime. We did a good job. We're winning at halftime. They didn't realize they had a whole nother half to play, and they didn't make very good adjustments in that second half, and they just didn't come to play in the second half.
Alex from the paper put up a tweet that said at some point a fan from Cambridge ran down and started yelling at the coaches that they should be fired. And he said, a 10-0 team going into the postseason, and you're on the hot seat. So not just the team started to deflate, but it sounds like the fans were expecting, you know, to beat the hell out of Fort Hill, and Fort Hill shows up in the second half, comes out of the locker room, and then it's a totally different story.
Let me correct you. You said fans on their side. The fan, singular, on that side. It was not heavily attended, okay?
Yeah, there looked like there was, from seeing some of the, you know, in the commercial video, it looked like there was room in the bleachers for you guys.
There's plenty of good seats.
You could have sat up.
Come on down.
Oh, we could have sat in them, but.
I think that speaks to our courage.
Everybody was watching from the Bay Bridge traffic.
Like, yeah, right. Well, it speaks to our courage because their fans didn't show up because of the weather, but we were there for you, Cumberland.
You know, unless you had a kid playing, I don't know why you would show up.
It was a miserable,
can't, you couldn't be. Oh, and a note about the Fort Hill band. And we have a news story up on our website, by the way, about how all these road games have affected Fort Hill's budget, like with the band. And that's, you can check out our website. But Bill Smith talked about that. So I guess the Fort Hill band got there in the second quarter, and they seemed to lift spirits, but they just came marching in. And then, Tony, I don't know what the rules of West Virginia, but the band was playing while play was going on, loudly playing the Fort Hill fight song.
My understanding is you're not to do that.
And we were, Rock was looking for penalties, and we never even saw them get warned. No. Brad, you were down the field. I mean, I don't know.
Well, they came in right at the second half, Jim. I think you got a call.
All right. Very good. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Good morning, fellas. You get enough sleep?
Sure.
No.
We're perky. We're ready to go. It was a long night.
I think one of the things that made a difference in the game last night was something that Fort Hill did not do, and that's get a lot of stupid penalties.
That's true. That really helped the cause.
Yeah, and you made a mention of the band. I think they made a very big difference in the second half. They showed up right before halftime. They got stuck, and I think they were waiting 45 minutes just to get on the Bay Bridge.
Yeah.
And then, but they really lifted the spirits, and Fort Hill came out with fire in their eyes in the second half, and it was just, we're going to run the ball right at you and beat you up physically.
Well, you know, the band, does a band make a difference? Well, you know, you got to win the game on the field. But when they appeared, it was like, now it was more of a Fort Hill atmosphere, and the fan, it was a tough night for fans. So that band,
tell me about it.
It my spirits.
Well, and not to be too corny about this, but you know, there's a reason marching armies had music with them.
That's right.
Exactly.
Hitler loved that.
Oh boy. Now
all right.
Oh, my goodness.
My senior thesis in college was whether or not music motivates people more or less listening
and?
To music. Oh, it definitely does.
There you go.
Thanks for getting us out of Germany. Oh, my God. Well, John, your son is really chuckling, so you and he can share some thoughts about the 1930s and music. But
I have a question for Rock. How'd you like those numbers on the Cambridge jersey?
Jim said to me, I was focusing on them being looking like UCLA, John. And Jim said, Well, this is going to be great. So I looked closer, and I said, it was impossible. There was no way in the world. I could see the quarterback's number after a while, but that, truthfully, that was about it.
Yeah. We were lucky that both teams, they focused on their quarterback, and Fort Hill focused on Jabril, so that really helped Rock call the game, and Brad was a huge help on the field.
Yeah.
But, John, we made a comparison earlier to the Catoctin game years ago, and, in fact, I think Alex has it in the paper today. Well, Fort Hill wanted no parts of what happened at Catoctin 5 years ago, did they?
No, they did not. And it's tough to beat anybody when you turn the ball over four or five times and your All-American kicker's first punt goes 6 yards.
Well, yeah, that's right. That's going back to the Catoctin game. But,
Well,
John, we have Bill Belichick who said on to Cincinnati. Mike Tomlin said on to Cleveland. He and the team didn't arrive. So now it's on to Perryville. Have you ever been there?
Never been to Perryville.
Well,
but I think I have to find an alternate route because my driver does not like the Beltway.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, that is true. Well, we will see you, I'm going to guess, Friday night, but we get to keep going, and Fort Hill had a heck of a second half.
If Zach has his way, it'll be Friday night.
Yep.
All right. You can count on that, huh?
All right, John. Thank you. Have a good Thanksgiving.
You too. Bye.
Thanks now. All right. Yeah, oh, my goodness. It really is hard to describe being outside for all those hours, and we were covered. And, Brad, you had the full combination of rain and wind and cold. So which of the three was the most troublesome?
For me, it's the wind. You know, just holding on to everything and then trying to pay attention as the wind gusts came along. So it's wind is the worst.
And it's hard to describe how raw your bare skin, your hands would get. But Mike was trying to keep stats, and his hand just froze up. And then post-game, we were trucking everything back to the vehicle. My hand, and I had gloves on the whole night until then, and I thought, my goodness, you really lose the feel. And those guys are out there playing football, and Fort Hill was not turning it over in the second half. It really was a great comeback. And Tony, just some that is going to go down the annals. That was a great win. And Zach Alkire gave a lot of credit to Cambridge in today's paper. He praised them as a quality program.
I think if Fort Hill was going to lose this year, they were going to, in the postseason, they were going to lose that game. And if they didn't, I don't see them lose it again. I think they cruise right into the state championship, probably to play Northern if we you know, really thinking about it. And I did have a question. Scoreboard operator, better, worse than Clint?
Well, he was accurate, but he was slow putting it up. Whoever was operating, yeah, but it took right until the snap of the next play, but he was accurate. I'll give him that.
A lot of people were asking me about the scoreboard.
I had a so-called friend tell me Wednesday that I whined too much about it. I think he said that in jest, but that was our broadcast position had to be where it was because to keep equipment from getting wet and so forth, but it was
my entire basement
that.
Has everything that we took down there laid out to dry out.
I'll bet. And I'll bet.
But we got it done, and the quality was good. With your touchdown call came through very well there, and congratulations to Fort Hill. That's the story, not us and whatever we had to go through.
Just terrific. I mean, I don't know if they really made any adjustments for the second half.
I don't know if they did.
They just cranked up the intensity.
I think so. And, again, can't emphasize enough the field position and Bobby Brower's kickoffs. And that grass was wet, so he didn't, hit it high and long. He hit line drive. Brad, you're on the field. Describe those kickoffs in
the second
I think
half. You have it just exactly right. They're more line drives, and they would scoot or bounce like a rock skipping over water. You know what I mean?
His kickoff was that a kickoff? Yeah, the kid, young man for Cameron South Dorchester, inside the 2 yard line.
Correct.
Went to return it.
Yeah,
and he went down.
Mistakenly put his knee down,
and he slipped, and his knee went down. That was sort of the ball game.
And then one other note towards the end, Fort Hill brings in Noah House and has a middle screen on fourth down, and they get a first down. Then they throw a touchdown pass. So
they get one touchdown pass every game.
More effective than the Steelers' two quarterback rotation.
On that topic of passing, I made myself a note. The last two games, Fort Hill has thrown the ball three times, two touchdowns.
There you go.
That's what they do.
How often do they throw during the regular season? But they're 3-for-3 the last two games.
You know, just a word about Nash Castle, their quarterback.
Yeah.
With the athletes they have offensively, he maybe could run under the radar a little bit, but. Last night, all those weather conditions and being as awful as they were, playing a good opponent, and he just had them well organized. They were, as somebody said earlier, a few penalties. None of the fumbles were on exchanges. I don't believe, Brad. They were all.
We had a counter crisscross.
But I don't think that was on the quarterback.
No, it wasn't him. No.
Running back to running back exchange.
You ask a quarterback what sometimes. Just keep it smooth, keep the machine running, and he certainly has done that.
He gets them in and out of the huddle. Yep. And in the second half, he is masterful at running that clock.
He looks stands, in charge of that huddle,
He stands
too.
In that huddle, and then he gets over center, and he has to watch. They were counting. The ref was counting without the play clock, and he was watching him count down, and then he would snap it.
Coaching.
In this day and age, maybe we don't appreciate quarterbacks at high school enough. They have a lot on them when you look at all the multiple sets that these teams run anymore.
They have that gun offense now, is what you were talking about when they bring in House. It was interesting on that screen. Two plays before that, they were calling, get ready for gun, get ready for gun. They knew they were going to run that play in that series.
Well, is this something else? I don't know. You know, I had to go into the gym there at halftime, and, you know, and I just saw a visitor's locker room, and I heard some raised voices, and I thought, I'm not going to lurk around here and hear what they're saying, but that's what a head coach does. That's what Jack Gilmore was effective at.
Yeah.
Is right, and other coaches at Allegheny would bring Jack in to speak to the team before a big game. Mm-hmm. So you can't underestimate that in a game like football. All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole. And it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for Mom and Dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Penny's Grill and Bar LaVale is offering home-cooked Thanksgiving dinner featuring turkey and ham with all the fixins. They're accepting reservations and carryout will be available. Make Thanksgiving special by calling Henny's now at 301-729-1746.
They line up in that eye, man in motion, and Daniels off the left side. And Daniels breaks free. And Daniels breaks another tackle down the far sideline. Down to 15, down to 10. Touchdown for the Fort Hill Sentinels with 7:57 remaining in the first quarter. And Daniels breaks another long one.
Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
How many city councilmen and grandfathers can call touchdowns in the rain like that? Now, that was just impressive. Mike.
Thank you very much.
It was. Mike Connolly, let's do those scores.
All right, Jim, thanks very much. Last night on WCBC, Fort Hill 30, Cambridge South Dorchester 12, Northern 49, Boonesboro nothing, Perrysville 27, Patterson Mill 2, Seed School 13, Green Street Academy 12. In college basketball last night, Allegheny College of Maryland 86, Chesapeake 79. Today on Classic Hits 107, West Side at Frankfort, airtime 12:30, kickoff is at 1:30.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. Garrett Egan, ACM 86, Chesapeake 79. When do the Trojans play again?
They play on Tuesday at Bob Kirk Arena. That's against Garrett. Both men's and women's teams play. So a pre-Thanksgiving appetizer, if you will, before their Thanksgiving break. And then Saturday and Sunday after Thanksgiving is the Jimbo Brown Classic down in Hagerstown.
The old Jim Brown Classic. Oh, my goodness.
Our two local kids are doing okay, huh?
They are. Owen Seifert from Fort Hill starts. He started the last four games. He's kind of a difference maker. And then coming off the bench, Caden Corpenning from Allegheny also is very, very solid. So Coach Reams has nothing but positive things to say about those two local guys, and they see a lot of the floor, too.
All right.
Good.
Tony Orndorff, what are you doing today after watching Seussical, the musical, or whatever you were doing last night?
Well, I watched Seussical, and I guess I'll be watching it tonight as well. After.
Attaboy.
Frankfurt out at home, back in action after a week off because of a number of different judicial proceedings going forward in the state of West Virginia. They'll be hosting Westside, which was the original opponent they were supposed to have when they beat Kaiser last week. We knew they were playing Westside. By the 24 hours later, we thought they were playing Lincoln, and then all of a sudden they weren't playing at all. So Coach Whiteman and his staff have scouted both teams. That is something to think about because it's not every team that had that. There was only a handful
of
teams that had to then prepare for two teams. Roan County, the number two seed, they were one of those teams, and Frankfort as well. They have this West Side team coming in. They're 7-3.
Where are they from?
They're from Wyoming County in Clear Fork, West Virginia. I looked this up yesterday. It's in another time zone, essentially. It's a relatively
That's why it's a Saturday game.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a relatively new school, but it's from 2002 is when it was built, so it's still, that seems relatively new
to
me.
Do we know who the 8 and 9 seeds are?
Yes. Bluefield is actually the 8, and they won last night. So Frankfurt wins today. They will play Bluefield. Bluefield was, I think, 4-5 or 5-5 in the regular season, but a strength of schedule enough that they ended up hosting a playoff game.
Oh, that's interesting. West Side 7-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any sense of if that would be Friday or Saturday?
Bluefield's pretty far away as well, so I would think that would probably also be a Saturday.
All right.
They're way down south, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, Garrett?
In Hampshire, snuck into the AAA playoffs. Right. And there's only one person in this room that's been a big Hampshire guy this year. So don't sleep on the Trojans against 10-0 Princeton today.
All right. We got Brad, do you have anything in your binder there that is relevant to what we have going on?
I have a lot of stuff in my binder. What would you like to know?
That is an impressive binder. Looking over his shoulder here.
It is. So you're back in the Frankfurt fold today. I'm sure you're looking forward to getting back because I know you've enjoyed the Falcons.
Absolutely. I enjoy watching them. This team comes in today, as most of these teams do. I think Tony would agree. A good quarterback, big, strong quarterback who can throw, who can run, who dominates the team.
And we're talking about West Side or Frankfurt?
West Side. And right. Frankfurt's going to have to contend with him because he leads the team in almost every statistical category. He's a senior. He looks like a big kid on film, and he can throw it. Now, this team either wins big or loses big. They have suffered some mighty big losses and put some big scores on people.
Do we have who they lost to?
Anybody familiar to us?
Page 52.
Page
56. He has a yellow tab there.
Okay. If you want to know how far this is for these young men to travel,
yes,
it's if you want to turn it in on your taxes, it would be 4 hours and 41 minutes, Rock. So,
longer than us yesterday.
I have this. They lost to Independence, which is a perennial power. They lost to Tug Valley, which is an undefeated team in 1A. And they lost to Shady Spring, which I think is also a playoff team. Their average win was like 35-28. But most of
that's a lot of points to give up.
Yeah, I went through their schedule. And most of the teams they beat were 3-7. That was the record I kept coming across. 3-7, 3-7.
Hold the crowd down today.
They have wins over Wyoming East, Mingo Central, the Man Hillbillies, Pikeview, Liberty, Summers County, and Mount View. And Mount View's logo looks like the Mountaineer Mart logo.
Yes.
Brock, you wanted to know where my deep dive was last night?
I did.
Would this qualify as a deep dive?
Yeah, it certainly would.
The schedule of West Side.
Yep.
And
that is a deep dive.
I almost took a deep dive off the Bay Bridge sitting on
I'll bet you.
By the way, speaking of driving the Bay Bridge, which I only did for the second time at night last night, I think it's easier to drive at night. You don't see down below. Mm-hmm. It's just dark out.
Yeah, just dark and some the lights flashing. Did you notice all the boats just sitting out?
Yes,
with the lights
I did.
On?
Yeah. It's kind of cool at night.
Yeah, maybe we'll do it again next week for fun.
No. Let's go to Perryville.
Yeah, there's a phrase. Instead of let's go to the gun shop, let's go to Perryville. Oh, my goodness.
Drive.
All right, your calls are welcome. Good luck to Frankfurt today, and good luck to Coach Whiteman.
Yeah, you know, what Kevin Whiteman and a lot of people in Maryland are rooting for them. Sometimes we get, some people who downgrade Frankfurt. We're not.
We don't do that.
We know what they do.
And a lot of people are rooting for Phil Carr.
Yeah, and you got it.
Some people.
All right, we'll be back on Saturday Morning Quarterback in just a moment.
WCBC Cumberland.
Cloudy skies this evening and a low near 40. WCBC. Officers of the Cumberland Police Department responding to the first block of Utah Avenue for a theft in progress. The alleged victim observed the suspect stealing property on a security camera. Officers arrived and located the suspect, Jason Stolomer, 48, of Cumberland, Maryland, who was in the possession of the stolen items. After further investigation, Jason was arrested and transported to police headquarters. He was issued a criminal citation for theft and released pending trial. 46 pieces of the Thrasher carriage collection were put up for auction on Saturday. The collection of carriages and sleighs from the 1800s and 1900s is displayed at the Allegheny Museum, Allegheny County Fairgrounds, and at the Thrasher Carriage Museum in Frostburg. County Administrator Jason Bennett.
We decided we need some room in that building for elections training and storage space and sheriff training and storage space. We've worked with the Allegheny Museum to get their blessing to surplus those pieces of the collection that they don't need either.
That's Newsbreak. I'm Chris Myers for WCBC News, reminding you to remember the time you spend listening to 1270 AM, 103.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at WCBCRadio.com.
The Allegheny College of Maryland men Trojans got a big win on the road, their second road trip of the week, and a three-hour-plus road trip, getting their second straight victory by a final score of 86-79 over Chesapeake down in Y Mills, Maryland. Behind the 20 points of Jaylen Brown, the 13 points of Sebastian Henson, and the 10 a pop from Gabe Jones and E.J. Johnson, the Trojans improved to 4-5 on the season on the road. This is Gary Deegan reporting for WCBC Radio Sports.
The Fort Hill Sentinels traveled to Cambridge, South Dorchester to face the undefeated Vikings in the playoffs, and the Sentinels came home with a 30-12 victory Friday night. Down 12-6 at halftime, Fort Hill scored 24 points in the second half while holding the Vikings scoreless and not giving up a first down. With the win, Fort Hill advances in the playoffs and will play next weekend. For WCBC Radio Sports, this is Mike Connolly.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
A highlight from last night in high school sports here on WCBC. Now, back to Saturday morning quarterback.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback. Remember, your calls are welcome, 301-722-8255. Our next segment is the number of the night. Mike Connolly, you get to go first with your number.
Well, Jim, I want to thank you for letting me do this because we were talking about it coming back from the game last night. My number is 18. That's the number of points Fort Hill has defeated Cambridge South Dorchester the last 2 years. Last year, they defeated the Vikings 38-20, and, of course, last night, 30-12. So my number is 18.
Love it. All right, Tony, what do you got?
My number is 4. That's the number of wins Frankfort wants right now. 4 more wins.
I like it.
4 more wins.
All right, very good. And we got to make sure that Charleston Stadium's available for the state title game. All right, Brad?
Rock.
Yes.
I'm going to need a ruling here on this one because I don't know my number, but I know what I want it to be in terms of it's a measurement. And you're now the expert on lighting. My number is the lack of lighting at that stadium last night. Why did we not have good lighting at that stadium?
Strategy.
And how do you measure lighting?
It was strategy by the Vikings, I think.
It was the darkest field, and then everything around it was pitch black. It's like they had a spotlight on the field, and everything around it, if you left the field, was black. Can you work on that for us?
I can work on that.
Thank you.
I'll be off this week.
Okay, thank you.
You had an estimate. How many lumens?
You said a lumen?
Lumens.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was the word I was looking for, Garrett.
Oh, my gosh.
Did they dance? Did the one spotlight dance?
There was one fan and one light at the stadium, so it was...
So no dancing.
Their band didn't show up, did they?
I think they had one member of a band. It was that poor band member got yelled at by the guy on the
public address
guy.
Well, they want to fire him too.
All right, Rock, what do you have?
Well, I've got a lot of stuff here. First of all, the wind chill was 25 degrees. That's one number. The wind gusted to about 30 to 35 miles an hour at some points. But most important, on the Reed rain intensity scale that we found out about last year, I had it at 6.1. Is that...
You weren't out in it, and that's why you had it at 6.1.
So you had it above 8?
I got that thing out of the garage, and I started it, and I brought it, and I parked it beside me, and it was much higher than a 6.1, Rob.
Well, with that in mind, I do want to highlight Luke Ross. We like him. He's a good player. He's a gritty player. 242 yards rushing for Northern last night, 5 touchdowns, 242 yards on only 12 carries, Doctor.
Quick number score. We looked up Hollidaysburg before we went on the air. Who had that score against Roman? Somebody had. Tony?
I know they'd lost to Roman. I don't remember the score.
It was badly.
Right. It was like 48-14, something like that. Yeah. That's right.
That's not right. That's just not right.
All right. Well, we'll save that discussion.
Okay. For when?
We'll circle back after we get back to the other topics.
Garrett, your number.
Any guesses? 9 for 78. Any guesses what that is?
9 for 78.
Is that Chesapeake ACM game?
Mm-mm. This is football related. Would be 9 miles for 78 minutes. You know the signs that they put up, like how long it's going to take on the road?
Oh, yeah.
I was coming closer to the Bay Bridge, and it said Bay Bridge, 9 miles, 78 minutes. I knew it was in trouble. More serious number, 1,724 and 32. That's Patterson and Shanholtz combined yards and touchdowns on the season. Today, Frankfurt hosts Westside. Those two names are going to be called a lot. And if Frankfurt's going to roll to Wheeling Island, they still have it at Wheeling Island?
No, they moved it to Charleston.
Man, I've been out of the game. Anyway, well, if they get to Charleston, it's going to be on the backs of those two guys, especially Patterson and Shanholtz.
I thought you were ready for a comment there.
Yeah, I think this is the first year they've moved.
That's right.
You're not
yes.
out of the game that far.
Yes.
There you go. And we don't get to do that game anyway. So.
That's correct.
But we'll get to that bitterness in a few weeks. All right. My number, what do we have
Wait
here?
Wait a minute. He skipped over that. What is that?
What?
You have a story?
We're not allowed to do the state championship game?
No, you can't in West Virginia.
Our team, our crew can't. We can broadcast it. But our crew doesn't do it. Well, you were with Nate years ago. You guys didn't get.
Yeah. They lost to Wayne.
What about? Was that 2014? When did they make the finals?
2014, I thought, was when they made the finals.
What were you doing?
Who knows? You know, yeah. What do I do anyway?
It's a rockin' tour and man about town. He could be.
No, our local broadcast.
Yeah, the local radios are blocked out because they have their crew that comes. I guess the Metro News people come in. They do the radio. They do the TV. So they don't have any local radio at the championship games.
And then making all the Fort Hill people sit on the Fort Hill side, that's just wrong.
That's wrong. And I think illegal.
Did Chapin Jewel get roughed up last night?
That's a good question.
More airtime. All right, let me do my number. I'm going to go with 30. That's the number Carrie Jabril Daniels had. I mean, it's just like, okay, here's how we're going to win this game. By sheer force of will. And that's what they did.
And he likes it. I think he likes it.
All right, that's our number segment. We have one segment left. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
A caller to Dave's show had this to say about the Kensington and Country House.
We can't thank them enough for the things that they do for the residents there. I mean, I just heard a commercial with Nicole, and it absolutely amazes us how they treat their residents there. We couldn't have found a better place for mom and dad whenever they got up in their later years.
Call the Kensington and the Country House today, 301-777-8800.
Cloudy skies with occasional rain showers Saturday morning, high near 48 degrees with cloudy skies overnight, low near 40. Sunshine on Sunday with a mix of afternoon clouds, high near 52 with a few clouds overnight, low near 32. And Monday, partly cloudy skies during the morning with overcast skies by afternoon, slight chance of rain showers, high of 57 degrees.
Listen throughout the day for the latest forecast, always at AM 1270, now at FM 103.1 and at WCBCRadio.com. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback, and our final segment is the booth review. And, Tony, you were in the sound booth up at Mountain Ridge last night watching plays. So what is your sound booth review? What do you got?
Well, I thought the second act was pretty good. The West Side came up last night. They came up last night. They traveled Friday to avoid, I guess, the potential weather. So they've been in town getting ready for the Frankfurt game since yesterday.
I'm glad you brought that up. Brad, real quick, what did Zach say? What did Fort Hill do yesterday? Because I thought that was a key part of your pregame interview.
They drove up. That day, I mean, they went up to the game. I think they said they left at 11:30 or something like that, bus, and had some lunch before they left.
And they got there a little bit after we did. I mean, they're in plenty of time, but
and they didn't stop and eat dinner, which I thought was. He said they'd eat afterwards. So,
wow. All right, what's your booth review?
It's not that.
I know that.
Oh, thank you. You stole my thunder on the Fort Hill band. All the world to the Fort Hill band. They stood on the track at Hancock. the whole game in the rain.
Or Clear Spring.
At Clear Spring. And thank you, Rock.
You're welcome.
And then they stood on the track at, where were we?
Cambridge South Dorchester.
Thank you. And they got there late. And I do think the mood just lifted when they got there.
I thought so.
You could just, they didn't miss a beat. They showed up and started playing that.
They didn't miss a beat?
No pun intended.
I thought psychologically it was good. I mean, we can't measure that stuff, but yeah.
I think can you measure it in lumens? Is that what we were doing?
We do it in lumens.
Decibels.
I'm still trying to figure out maybe if they have LED lighting down there.
Rock, I tried to call on you and you just left me out there.
Yeah, lumens.
All right, Rock, what do you have for your booth review?
Well, I'd like to go back to the resentments that are building. At least, certainly, Brad and I, that you downplayed our picking Northern over Newport.
In fact, I think you both picked the exact score.
We did, so all we're right. not going to. I won't mention that. I'm going to just highlight Sean Beiser was always fun to interview in here when he was at Kaiser.
When he got here.
He did his best to get here all the time.
Yeah, he got here at 6:40 for a one-hour show.
But he enjoyed himself. He got a playoff win at Morgantown. I'm happy for it.
All right. Very good for Coach Beiser. And he got Hampshire to playoffs 3 years in a row?
Yes, or three years in a row.
Yeah. All right, so credit to him. Michael, what do you have for a booth review?
The time of possession. Fort Hill, 29 minutes and 26 seconds to 18:34. And the penalties, Fort Hill, 4 for 20. You know, Cambridge South Dorchester, 7 for 40. And Fort Hill, second half, it was just total domination.
All right. Brad, we like our referees down there. We didn't talk about them. That's a good thing.
I thought they did a good job. Yeah, they were very friendly guys and did a nice job. The white cap did not want me to broadcast his instructions, and he did not want me standing anywhere close, like hearing the instructions.
Whereas Junior Eversole would wave the media
to cover
his instructions.
Were you able to overhear what he was telling them, that he didn't want the media there?
Yeah, I think what he was telling them was don't.
Mess up.
Exactly.
Don't misbehave.
Yes, and if you do, you're going to have problems. That's
all right.
Well, we were wondering if he uses foul language, and that's why
I didn't hear that. I heard stern warnings about what would happen if you did certain things.
Okay.
Stern, impassioned stress. That's one of our patriotic hymns. Pilgrim's Feet, stern, impassioned stress.
No.
There you go. Garrett?
Number 763 in the Breaking Bread book, I believe. my booth review is a review of Coach Phil Carr. Northern 7 seed rolling in the playoffs, playing at Boonesboro in the mud, in the muck. Many believe that this might be the last ride for the Sheriff up in Northern. If it is, he's got these kids playing hard, playing tough, in the mud, getting a win over Boonesboro, and potentially could see Northern in a state championship game.
Credit. I'd like to change my booth review and talk about him. Labeling him as the Sheriff.
Well, to mention the Breaking Bread book.
Well, that
is just
good.
Hilarious. And would this be the time of the show to mention that one of the people here does not like patriotic songs at Mass? Is that something we should get into right now or down the road?
Well, we could use that in case we run out of material next
week. I think we are running out of material. The point of that question.
I'm sorry, him saying Breaking Bread is
Morgantown,
just
by the way, gets to play Spring Mills next week.
Is Thanksgiving a patriotic day?
I have a quick question.
Yes.
Where did this, on a serious question, the business of this might be Phil Carr's last year, where did that originate? Anybody have any idea?
It was Mike Allen on our show had hinted it, and when we did Allegheny Northern, I tried to bait Coach Carr into possibly saying that and trying to get anything out of him because, you know, he's just very focused. I tried to kind of float it to him, and he didn't take the bait. And then, talking to people around town, more than they seem to think that this will be it. I can't see it, but
well, he has baseball. I think baseball is probably his first love, I think.
And he's the athletic director. Did Spring Mills get those wins back?
Spring Mills did get the wins back. So they came in to that as the 2 seed. Yeah, they got their wins were restored.
This has been like a year of adjudication. Martinsburg got popped. Fort Hill got popped. Spring Mills got popped.
And the whole playoff system itself in West Virginia getting thrown
And by the way, I don't know if at any point we'll delve into the Did you say vacated wins?
Yes.
Don't you love that? That's pretty good. Yeah. We could go through about every school and say they've had kids play that played somewhere else the year before.
Talking about locally?
Yeah. So
it's not good, but I guess if you go back to that rule where you had to sit out a year, someone must have gotten sued.
Yeah. All right. So at any rate, you guys were asked what my booth review was, right? Oh, that's right.
Thanks. Do you have one?
Yeah, I do. All right. Zach Alkire's quote in the paper today. This is so great. At the end of the article from Alex, we're one step away from going back home to Annapolis.
Oh.
How do you like that one?
I like that.
Back home to Annapolis. Yeah, Brad, that just says it all about the Fort Hill mentality. I love that quote.
And I don't think he means it in kind of an arrogant way. I think he believes that. That's where we belong. We need to go back there. And I don't think he's saying it in kind of a derogatory way to anybody. I think he thinks that's where Fort Hill goes every year.
Right. And they do.
And they'll be at their most comfortable at any point in the playoffs when they get if they get to Annapolis. That'll be familiar for, surroundings at that point.
I agree with Brad. Arrogant would not be an adjective you'd use to describe Zach Alkire.
No, and boy, do we appreciate all our coaches. But, you know, last night it was kind of a scramble. So it's about a quarter seven or 6:15. The kickoff is 6:30. So we say to Brad, see if Zach will talk to you. Zach is head of the locker room for a playoff game against a 10-0 team. So not only will we stop and talk to Brad out in the you know, the
darkness.
The darkness of the darkness.
Brad located him in the dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had to go through five or six coaches and kind of look, are you Zach? And where's Zach? Is Zach coming? And then finally he said, Zach's the last coach. He was coming off the field. And he came by, and I said, Coach, I'm sorry, do you have a moment? He said, sure. Just like that. No question. He didn't say, I need to get in there. He just said, sure. He walked up, and he said, what do you want to talk about? And that's how he always is.
That's great. I mean, that's really wonderful.
It is. It makes it a lot more fun.
It really is.
He has that sort of approach, and then when he needs to reach in and ramp up the intensity, it's there. He has another gear he can get to. We've seen other coaches come out really, really hot. They have nowhere else to go. But Zach's very even-keeled, and then when he needs to fire people up, he can do it.
Last year on the homecoming breakfast, we had Caden Bratton and Reese Vaughman. And we asked Reese about Coach Alkire. I think Rock did, and Reese said, "Well, he's pretty quiet, but there's an accountability to that quiet. You know, he doesn't get too up very often, but you know that it's there, and you play hard, and you know that if you do something wrong or you mess up, and you turn around, he's going to be, you know, looking at you, and he's going to hold you accountable. But like you guys said, he does have that extra gear. He doesn't bring it out very often, but when you're down 12-6 at halftime, things kind of teetering, it's rainy, anything's possible, he hits that gear, and what happens in the second half, they pitch a shutout and get the win.
Well, along with that, if you're a screamer, kids can start tuning that out after a while. He's not that, as you said. Reese said he is a certain look he gives you that gets your attention. Yeah. So if you do go in the locker room down 12-6 and you heat it up a little bit, I suspect it's a little more effective out of a guy like Zach. I don't think he does that often, though.
Who do you think he's most like? Where do you get most of his qualities? From his father, from coach, being with Coach Apple, Coach Latimer along the way?
Well, let's organizationally, Coach Apple laid the foundation. Now, personality-wise, no. he'd have to be more like his dad. I know you guys have – some of you talk to him more than I. Michael, you knew John very well, but again, organizationally, that's Mike Calhoun to Todd Apple to Zach Alkire. I'm sure Barry is organized too, but go ahead.
Yeah, real quick. John was, he had his moments because when he was head coach, Bishop Walsh kept the stats for him, and he always coached from up top, and he would, you know, go off the handle a little bit, but then he had that even keel, and he would pass what he wanted to say on to his assistant coaches, Bill Manning, Gary Neuse, et cetera. But, yeah, I think a lot of it came from his father.
And the coaching job he has, and some people might think, well, that's the best job you could have. Oh, it might be the worst job you could have.
Yeah.
And, Rock, why might it be the worst job?
Well, the expectations are you're going to win, period. You're just going to win.
Oh, and by the way, if Fort Hill was 10-0 and they were getting beat, I could picture a Fort Hill fan coming down and saying you're terrible, like the Cambridge South Door. That's not a stretch at all.
No, it's not. Yeah.
So the expectations.
We have years and years ago, a fan came down after one of the Fort Hill coaches on homecoming. And I won't mention who and why, but, yeah, in front of God and everybody.
Wasn't Doug running the scoreboard?
Doug or Doogie?
What I was going to say was, heavy is the head that wears the crown. So you're expected to win, and if you don't win,
yeah,
the roof's on fire. And why aren't we good anymore? And is Fort Hill really done? Like, after that Dunbar game, right. I had multiple people, because Brad and I did the game, you think Fort Hill's done? You think, you know, and it's just like, they're playing Dunbar early in the season.
And I said last night on the way home, I think we had time to work it in, that those games have paid off,
yeah,
because they were used to covering speed. And Brad, you did the Dunbar game, so I think those games have now paid off. I think you could see it last night.
Absolutely, in terms of coverage, the Dunbar receivers, as Garrett said, were you know, they're outstanding. Briar Woods defending that quarterback, so they learned how to defend very good athletes. One other problem with being a Fort Hills coach. You can't leave your house. You can't go out to dinner. You can't go to the movies, because if you do, you will get 10 people telling you what you did wrong in your 52-0 win.
And Rock and I have been watching this show, Friday Night Lights. I know we're a little late to the party on that, but that's the sort of pressure,
yeah,
you know,
there's
that
a lot
exists.
Of similarities.
And but it gets a good job, because at least people care.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad when you – you know, the other team we cover, the intensity, the enthusiasm is waned, and it's not – that's a job. You know, there might be all kinds of people who want the Fort Hill job. I don't know how many people want the Allegheny job or want another job. I don't know. So
it would depend on – I think it depends a lot on your personality. If you like pressure, if you can handle the pressure, if you can handle the intensity, that's a good job. If you want to get, like, really try to rebuild something or really try to build something up, then you take a different job where there isn't that kind of pressure. The pressure is trying to lay that foundation that you were talking about with Calhoun and Apple. So it depends. I think it depends a lot on the kind of person you are.
Yeah, I think – yeah. I, as you described that, Tony, I would think of Refosco coming to Allegheny way back in 77. That wasn't the ideal job, although Coach Stimmel had some good years.
We have a call.
Great.
Let's do it. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Good morning. Are you dry yet?
Sure. Not the equipment's not. That's all out. How you doing?
The next week's game is Saturday, correct?
We had not heard that. Heck, if they played on a Friday night on the Eastern Shore, why are you thinking it's Saturday?
Can you please call? Can you please get on? Can I talk to you off the air, please?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure.
I'll give you. I appreciate you.
We'll put you on hold.
I'll hang tight. Okay.
All right. We'll put you on hold.
Wow.
Thank you.
That would raise my spirits. It's Saturday.
Yeah, so we don't know. Yeah. All right. Well, at any rate, we appreciate the call. Yeah, we never know what's going on. But here's what we know. Tony?
Frankfurt today, 12:30 airtime, 1:30 kickoff against Westside. Their march to Charleston.
That's no fun.
No, it's not.
Wheeling Park. That's more fun to say.
Good luck to the Hampshire Trojans. Your Hampshire Trojans, Garrett.
And we got Moorfield. We got Petersburg. We got East Hardy still in it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Great show, and nobody would know we didn't get home to when we got home. Plenty of enthusiasm here. So thank you for listening. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks to Chris for being here and doing a wonderful job. Fred Benson, great job last night. For Garrett Egan, Mike Conley, Tony Orndorff, Brad Reed, and Rock Cione, this is Jim Zamias for WCBC Radio Sports.
WCBC and by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in downtown Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's and respite care, located on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback is a production of WCBC Radio Sports. All rights reserved.